This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Thursday, August 30th. I'm Jeff Bossert. Coming up, AM 580's Michael Kaliska takes us to a century-old barn in Allerton Park. Monticello is the site of a music festival opening this weekend. And we'll have a look at your AM 580 weather forecast for Champaign-Urbana. But first, a look at today's news. The nation's agriculture secretary says passing a farm bill this year needs to be a priority. Some have recommended simply extending the current bill, which was written in 2002 and was meant to guide the nation's ag policy for 5 years. Secretary Mike Johann says a new farm bill would bring more benefits to farmers than an extension of the current policy, and delaying action on a new bill could push deliberations into a presidential election year.
I just don't see it happening. There's just too many other things going on. And so where are you at? You're now down the road two or three years with an extension that, quite honestly, I don't think is the best situation for farmers and ranchers across the country.
Johann's appeared at the Farm Progress Show in Decatur yesterday. He has one bone of contention with the version of the farm bill that the U.S. House has passed. It calls for federal crop subsidies to go to farmers making up to $1 million a year. Johann says that cap should be dropped to no more than $250,000 a year, something the American Farm Bureau opposes. Eight government and social service agencies say it'll be tough to handle losing the money they were promised from state lawmakers. State Representative Naomi Jacobson gathered their leaders together Wednesday to show why the budget requests she made on their behalf were worthy of state funding. Last week, the requests were among the $463 million in cuts Governor Rod Blagojevich made to the state budget in order to expand universal health care programs. Patricia Avery is a former Democratic official who now has the Champaign-Urbana Area Project, an agency that assists at-risk young people. She questions why the governor cut local programs that work toward his health care goals.
He's not coming to Champaign County to make sure that the people that need that health insurance is getting it. It's our agencies.
Representative Jacobson says she'll join other House members from both parties in voting to override the governor's budget vetoes. She claims Governor Blagojevich is incapable of working with lawmakers.
Since he failed that way, he decided to take some rather draconian measures with the budget and actually do some budget thuggery.
Even if House members vote to override the vetoes, State Senate President Emil Jones has promised to block any override votes in his chamber. For the first time, a proposed annexation agreement between Savoy and the Champaign-Urbana MTD has received the endorsement of the MTD board. MTD board members said they generally supported the agreement during their monthly meeting Wednesday. The agreement would protect much of Savoy from forced MTD annexation for up to 25 years. But some apartment complexes and the Savoy Walmart would be annexed immediately. The northern portion of Savoy is already in the MTD. The reception was welcomed by Savoy Village officials attending the MTD board meeting. Village Trustee Jan Nickum says this paves the way for a final agreement in a few months.
Well, we'll have to go back to our board, and we'll have to hash out any agreement or disagreement that we might have on our board and see what kind of final support we have on our board, see what kind of final support they have on their board, and see if we come to an agreement by Christmas time, hopefully.
But support for the Savoy MTD agreement is not unanimous. MTD Board Vice Chairman Paul Lucas, who was absent from the meeting, sent in an email saying he would oppose any agreement with Savoy. And people in Savoy, both village trustees and the general public, are divided on the proposal. At a public hearing last month, many Savoy residents said they simply did not trust the CUMTD and feared they would find a way to pressure the village into more annexation. MTD Board Chairman Al Anderson says there are no plans for forced annexations in Savoy, but he concedes that his agency needs to work on its public relations. Champaign County has found its first evidence of West Nile virus this year. The State Department of Public Health says two samples of mosquitoes trapped in the county contain the virus that causes flu-like disease. The state has confirmed 14 cases of West Nile in humans this summer. None of them are in Champaign County, but Champaign joins Macon, Sangamon, and 22 other Illinois counties in reporting signs of the virus. The village of Rantoul will get state help to clean up the former site of a downtown dry cleaner. The $129,000 Brownfields redevelopment grant will help the village clean the soil underneath a lot on Girard Street. It's the proposed site for a small park. Two Central Illinois teens have been charged with bringing guns on a school bus and to a school in an alleged plan to sell the weapons for money and cocaine. 16-year-old Sean Sullivan and 15-year-old Martin Huerta Jr. will be tried as adults on the weapons charges. Huerta also is charged with cocaine possession. The teens were arrested Tuesday during a lockdown at Pontiac Township High School. Livingston County State's Attorney Thomas Brown says the third teen is being processed in juvenile court. He would not say whether that teen would be charged. Authorities say Sullivan admitted talking to Huerta about buying the guns for $100 each and discussed using cocaine as payment for one weapon. Students at Illinois State University are fighting a dress code instituted earlier this week at the College of Business. ISU's student government group says the code violates students' rights under their constitution. School marketing department teachers say the decision was made to enhance professionalism at the school. It's a business casual dress code that will apply to about 750 students while they're taking marketing and business teacher classes. Some parts of the dress code were instituted in 2003, but the school's student government group says their constitution says students have the right to be free of a mandatory dress code. For the latest newscast online, go to wiol.uiuc.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Jeff Bossert. A century-old barn in Allerton Park will be the home of a new sonic experience for Central Illinois. The Allerton Music Barn Festival opens for the very first time in Monticello this weekend. The festival will feature five performances, from American classical to Balinese gamelan. AM 580's Michael Kaliska has the first sound check of the new venue.
Well, I just hope we don't blow the roof off is all I'm saying, but no, I'm kidding. I think the barn will hold.
Tito Carrillo and his Afro-Latin jazz ensemble will kick off the Allerton Music Barn Festival. Carrillo teaches as music professor at the University of Illinois. He says his band tries to blend rhythms from Cuba, Brazil, Venezuela, and Colombia.
The Afro-Latino rhythms of Central America, South America, and the Caribbean are very diverse. And each country has its own kind of music, its own culture, its own food. We want our music to reflect that, but with jazz tying it together.
And diversity was one of the main ideas for the festival.
Well, I wanted the festival to reflect what the School of Music does. And we teach Western classical music, we teach jazz, and we teach musics from around the world. We have one of the foremost ethnomusicology programs in the country.
Carl Kramer is the Dean of Music at the U of I and the man behind the festival. He had the idea 5 years ago when he joined the university and discovered the 19th century Dutch hay barn during an U of I welcome seminar at Allerton.
It's a beautiful facility, especially in the lower level. You can see all the joists and how all the wood beams are put together. And then, of course, the upstairs, which is the concert space, is a wonderful 40-foot ceiling. What creates the beautiful acoustic is the cubic feet of airspace inside and how tall the roof is.
But at that time, the barn was not in the best shape. He said there were holes in the roof and holes in the side.
Inside, it was completely full of junk and at least 50 years of pigeon guano. And we baking soda blasted the floor and the walls to get the pigeon guano off.
The barn now shines again like it must have almost 100 years ago. Inside will be room for about 170 music lovers. And for an about $50 ticket, they'll get more than just music.
This is an example of our white bean and spicy sausage soup with greens. We've served it here in a tortilla bowl.
Rhonda Killian just gives a small sample of the food that will await the festival crowd.
And it is sticky rice in coconut milk with fresh mango.
Killian owns Montgomery's restaurant in Monticello and will provide the culinary experience in a food tent outside the barn. She got her inspiration for the food from the music. She says she first did her research about the culture and the origin of the music to match the overall experience and then put her own little spin on it.
It really is a feast of the senses. We've got nature, we've got music, we've got great food, we've got good wine. It's phenomenal. I only wish I didn't have to work and I could be a guest, right?
This is gamelan music from Bali. The roots of this music stretch back about 3,000 years. The cymbals, gongs, and percussion instruments accompany a shadow puppet play which will be performed during the festival. Ikutut Gide Asnawa is a Balinese visiting professor at the U of I who teaches the gamelan. He says the music survived because it is part of the Hindu religion in Bali.
So the gamelan in Bali is as an integral part of our society, as part of the ritual ceremony, like a wedding ceremony, a cremation, but also a cycle of life.
This music was composed by Aaron Copeland to be played especially in a barn. The Ellerton Festival Chamber Orchestra will play Copeland's Tenderland under the director of the U of I Orchestras, Don Schleicher. He says the concert is a rare event where students and faculty play together.
I absolutely love the idea of doing music in this setting. And the one piece that we're doing for sure, the Tenderland of Copeland, which was, of course, written about a Midwest farm family. So this is the perfect setting for it.
Festival organizer Carl Kramer believes it is such an ideal setting that the festival will grow and someday become as big as the Aspen or Tanglewood Music Festival.
Now, we'll see what happens, how the audience reacts to it. Hopefully they will, maybe they won't. Well, but this is the first year and there's lots of unknowns, so we'll see what happens.
The Ellerton Music Barn Festival runs each night Friday through Monday with a Sunday morning performance as well. And unlike most concerts, the pre-performance meal is part of the show. I'm Michael Kuliska, AM 580 News.
In the forecast for East Central Illinois today, mostly sunny skies, not as warm, the high in the upper 70s. Clearer tonight, cooler, the low around 55. Sunny skies for tomorrow, the high around 78. Clear skies Friday evening, the low around 52 degrees. Sunny skies on Saturday, the high around 82. Clear skies Saturday evening, the low around 58. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Thursday, August 30th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, as well as other helpful information at our website, wiol.uiuc.edu. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.